This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:35 in the morning, BFM 89.9, Chuang, Xiaoning and Phil with you this morning. Now, you're in the barbecue pit in about half an hour, Wong. Who are you going to be
grilling? Roasting. Yeah. Well, the victim, the guest is actually Muazzam Muhammad. He is the CEO of Bank Islam Malaysia. And today is going to be an interesting conversation because they are the largest standalone Islamic bank in the country. But it's a very crowded field, 16 Islamic banks. So what's their growth plan and how challenging has the operating environment been? So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin.
Definitely something to look forward to in about half an hour. So, okay, Down Under, fellas, is the playground for the media battle that is brewing. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's the theatre. So Australia is the theatre for a long-running battle over who profits from media content between tech giants such as Google and Facebook versus beleaguered news media outlets. So Australia is pioneering a news media bargaining code that would regulate how tech giants and media publishers license content. This would essentially mean that Google and Facebook have to pay for news content that they feature on their site.
So the code is currently being considered by lawmakers in Parliament and has bipartisan support. In sign of objection to the proposed law, Facebook, however, yesterday took the nuclear option of blocking all Australian news media content. Facebook says that the new law would penalise Facebook for content that it didn't take or ask for. But its drastic measure to ban Australian news media content has caused a severe backlash. Roughly 39% of Australians use Facebook to get news, according to a 2020 report by the University of Canberra, though.
To help us untangle the debate and the various stakes at play, we've got on the line with us Marcus Strom, the president of the MEAA, the Media and Australian Journalists Union. Marcus, good morning. Was there any warning that Facebook would take such a drastic move to block news content?
Good morning, Sumat Bagi. Look, this has been brewing for a long time, as your introduction said. And while the timing of it was a surprise, we woke up yesterday morning and our Facebook feeds had no news in them, but still plenty of conspiracy theories and QAnon nonsense and anti-vax information, but no news. So, yes, it was a surprise, but in one sense, not surprising, because Google has been very publicly making deals on the side with media companies and Facebook has been very quiet leading up to this week when the bill is before Parliament.
Do you think the difference between why they took different approaches was the difference in how people search and source for information? Because in Facebook, people don't really search for it. It's basically coming through the feed, but in Google, you're actually searching. Is that why they're taking different approaches?
I think it's bigger than that. I think it's to do with how they see themselves as companies globally. While this is happening in Australia, as you said, this is like a practice run globally for how civil society at a planetary scale addresses these two huge monopolies in social media. How these tech giants effectively, while privately controlled, dominate what have become public spaces. Google is now a verb in every language. Facebook is how a lot of people get their information every day. So I think this is Mark Zuckerberg, who controls Facebook pretty tightly. I think it's him making a decision that I can burn a medium power country like Australia to show the rest of the world, don't come messing with me.
And Marcus, I want to take a step back, right? Because MEAA, you're a strong proponent of the news media bargaining code. But how is this proposed law actually supposed to work?
So our members, we have more than 5,000 journalist members in Australia. We have members in all the major news organisations. And for many years, we've seen advertising revenue leave our publications and go to Facebook and Google. And what this proposed bill is meant to do is to rebalance where that money is flowing in the media ecosystem. Once upon a time, the production and distribution of news was all in one place, so the advertising money made could be reinvested into journalism. It's now been separated, and so journalism is losing out. And journalism isn't like any other commodity. It's not like making rubber tires or something like that. It is a social good. So the idea of the code is to allow private companies the media companies, as well as the public broadcaster ABC, to sit down with Google and Facebook and say, well, what's a fair recompense? You get a little bit from us, we get a bit from you. What's a fair payment for that advertising revenue to come back? And that's how it's meant to work.
Yeah, Marcus, let's zoom out a little bit more because, as you know, in Australia, the media industry has got a long and storied history, and journalism is a big force for good in your part of the world. Are you aware that the proposed bill will have global implications? And what is your sense of whether or not your law will be adopted by other sovereign nations, particularly with regard to the fact that I think Google will now be paying Fox News a portion of its revenue?
So I think that we're very aware that this is an experiment that the globe is looking at quite closely, because these two companies have effectively become public utilities, like the Telegram did in the 19th century. It went from being a sort of a niche private network to becoming a public necessity. And now so many people rely on Google and Facebook. It's sort of in that gray area, shifting from just being a private company to becoming a public utility. So the world is thinking about how we can get these companies to start paying a fair share of their tax. A lot of them avoid tax. They try to pretend that they're just a private company, but they're providing a social good. So how each country will adapt, I think, will probably depend on local conditions. But yes, this is definitely the beginnings of a template that can be looked at. And I'm aware that our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has gone global, and he's gone immediately to India to seek the support of the Indian government in taking on Facebook. So this fight will go global.
And how do you think this fight with Facebook will eventually pan out? I mean, you know, you're talking about a tech giant here and, of course, another sovereign country.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, if I could tell the future, I'd be a very wealthy man. But I think what we are seeing is another piece in the puzzle. Already in the United States, the US Federal Trade Commission is investigating Facebook and its monopoly power, and looking at ways to break it up. I think it's different to say breaking up Ford Motor Company or General Electric or some big company like that happened in the 19th and 20th century, because the strengths of Facebook and Google is that they are massive global entities. They work because they reach the whole globe. So their power and their utility to human beings is the fact that they are global entities. So breaking them up kind of doesn't make as much sense as, say, breaking up an electricity company or a car company or a steel company, because you need the idea that there's competition doesn't quite work in the same way. But I think this could backfire on Facebook. I think to publicly humiliate a country and a prime minister, and then for other countries to start saying, look, Facebook needs to rein itself in, I think Facebook may have overplayed its hand on this one.
Yeah, so Marcus, I think you share the concerns and sentiment, and I agree with you that it was a bit premature. But can we just listen to their argument, which is, where do you draw the line between news and information? Because if you're saying that we view news as a public good and that we have to monetize and put some value to it, Facebook and Google are asserting that you're going to extend the line further, and it will affect how also information will be displayed and even procured later, no?
Yeah, so the argument that Google in particular, but Facebook also, were making is that you're trying to commercialize the link. All they're doing is sharing information. They're not actually passing off the information as theirs. That's been Google and Facebook's argument. And I mean, I find it a bit disingenuous, because Google does commercialize those links already. You can send money into Google and you'll get your company. If you're running a company and you want it to get noticed on the front page of Google, you pay them and they will boost your link. So already those links are commercialized. So what you're trying to get at is, what's the difference between, say, a link to a news story from your station and maybe a link from a local real estate agent? Or they're both forms of information. One is news, but one isn't news. And I think we know the difference, but how can you teach an algorithm to know the difference between those two pieces of information? I think there is a gray area there, but I think news organizations that are recognized as real independent producers of news, such as the ABC or CNN, or I think once there's a sensible way to address these issues.
All right, Marcus, thanks so much for your time. That was Marcus Strom, the president of the MEAA Media, an Australian Journalists Union. We're also running a poll on Twitter on very much the same vein, asking you, should tech platforms like Facebook and Google be made to pay for news content? Four options, yes, no, not sure, don't care. Okay, 7:46, we'll come back after this with the former Education Minister, Dr. Mazli Malik, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.